Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. My name is Cora Gernon. I created this space for women to share all of the details surrounding their pregnancy, labour, birth and everything in between without feeling shy about the detail. Sit back and enjoy over 100 hours of birth stories told by you, the listeners. Enjoy. Hello, I hope you've all had a lovely week. I have. I spent some really nice quality time with my family, which was much needed for us all. But I'm straight back into a really busy week with the podcast. I have lots of recordings and lots of amazing birth stories to share with you over the next couple of weeks. As I mentioned, I'm not sharing a new birth story this week, but I'm sharing one that I think is pretty fitting for the month ahead. So as we know, it's June. Pride is coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I wanted to share my chat with Joe and Katie, episode 92. A little voice note that I want to share with you first is one that Katie sent the day after we had our chat. And it's a really nice voice note. I shared it in the original podcast and I think I want to share it here too for you to enjoy. So listen to this and then I'll share some details of our chat.
Hey Cora, it was great chatting to you last night. Just wanted to say thanks so much for asking us onto the podcast. It was so nice to just take that little trip down memory lane and kind of revisit the whole process from start to finish. Felt really, really nice. So thanks for that. The reason that we wanted to do the podcast was just to kind of get the message out there to other same-sex couples that, you know, you can do this and you can have a family and it is within reach. And also to anyone kind of going through IVF or fertility treatment that it can work and it does work, and it worked for us. So yeah, thanks again.
I just love that message and I think I always will. So to chat about their story a little bit, they went through IVF to conceive their little boy, Sonny. They talked me through the level of preparation that they did, not only individually, but also as a couple. And I think that's really important. They did have Pam as their doula, who is an incredible support to women, as I'm sure a lot of you know, and I will tag her in the show notes if you want to reach out and if you need support. A really positive induction story, and they had a lot of support as well in the hospital, which is always amazing. So enjoy this story. I certainly enjoyed listening back to it. To those of you who have already listened to Joe and Katie's story, I urge you to listen to it again, as you always hear something new, I find, if you listen to a story more than once. I will chat to you next week with a brand new episode, and if you would like to join the mailing list for our event in September, just send me a DM and I will include you. And if I forgot, I'm sorry, send me a DM again. I've had like a sieve. So enjoy my chat with Joe and Katie. So Joe and Katie, I'm delighted to finally sit down and have this chat with you. It's been a long time coming. Life, predominantly mine, keeps getting in the way. So yeah, I'm really excited to get stuck in and hear all about Sonny's birth.
Thank you so much. We're delighted to be here.
Do you want to share a little bit about your lovely family and then we'll get stuck in?
Yeah, so I'm Jo Quinn and my wife here is beside us.
Hi, I'm Katie.
We had our son in September 7th, 2021. His name is Sonny and he was born at 6:30. And we also have a long dog, Alfie, who's a greyhound. He's our firstborn.
He's four.
Yeah. So the four of us live here in Wicklow Town.
And how did the introduction go between dog and baby?
Actually, really, really well.
Yeah, Alfie was very interested in the pregnancy. Joe, he was head on the bump for the whole time, really protective. And he just kind of got used to Sonny straight away. Like we did the whole, I brought home a little baby grow while Joe and Sonny were still in the hospital and gave it to Alfie and he just kind of gave it a sniff. And then when Sonny came home, he just kind of sniffed him and then went, all right, cool. There he is.
It was almost like he was like, we were like, this is Sonny. And Alfie's like, yeah, he's been here for 9 months. Like, what's your story?
So let's go right back to when you guys decided to become parents, the process itself, and if you knew anybody else who'd embarked on the same journey.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose the pandemic was like good to us in ways and not good to us in other ways. So we were planning getting married in August 2020. And it was all up in the air. You know, we'd sent out our save the dates and then it was like, oh God, like make it hit. And it was like, what's going to happen? We don't know. And it was like 100 people, 50 people. Anyway, the wedding's a whole other story, but we managed to get married anyway. We just had 25 of us. But we sat down in about June and we just said, okay, what? Everything is up in the air. Everything is paused in life. Nothing is sure in the world. You know, we don't know what to really rely on. And we kind of went back to basics and we just had a chat and said, what's important to us? And we both said, okay, the wedding is like, you know, we want to be married. The party, we'll have a party whenever we can. But we both knew we wanted to be parents. We wanted to have children. So we just said, right, okay, let's kind of get the ball rolling on this because this is what we can control now. So in June, before we were married, we went and got the scan, kind of started the process. So I had the scan and then we were like, okay, look, if anything happens, at least we have so much time before we're married. We've so much time, you know, we're just kind of getting ahead of ourselves. So
we didn't really know as well how long the process would take, but this is one thing that's for sure. We were both kind of up in the air with work and, you know, we were both kind of in and out of work throughout 2020 and we just kind of thought, look, this is one thing that we're certain about. So let's just do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a good time as well. We had a lot of time together to talk through things and we were at home a lot. A lot of the consultations then were on Zoom and on the phone. So we could both kind of be there and, you know, take notes. And it just kind of felt like a good time to do it.
We do know other people who've done it, but kind of, so we did, we went straight for IVF and a lot of same-sex couples would go for IUI first, especially if they don't have any fertility problems. But we kind of just heard, we heard in our experience anyway, we heard a lot of, oh, we did IUI three times, it failed. Then we did IVF. Heard this so many times. We were like, we don't want to waste a year and a half or 2 years and have all of those emotions if we just could go straight for IVF. So we just said, look, we'll go for it. See how we get on. So we went with Sims IVF and they're obviously like, look, whatever you feel, but we think that this is the best route to go down. So they recommended we go for IVF. So we did. And then, yeah, we just, by the time we were married, we were like, okay, the next cycle, let's go for it. We had to do one session of couples counseling. Because obviously he's donor conceived. So everybody.
Implications counseling.
Yeah, implications. What did I call it?
Couples counseling.
Couples counseling. So funny because they talked all about this counseling. It's real like, you know, have you done your counseling? Because we can't get this until you have your counseling done. You can't get blah, blah, blah. And we were like, oh God, what is this going to be? You know, we're full sure they were going to be like, you know, what do you plan to do? What kind of a person are you? What kind of a parent are you going
to
be?
And we kind of thought we were being interviewed. We were going to be interviewed to be parents, and we were absolutely bricking it. Yeah. But that's not at all.
It was the way. Yeah. It was lovely. It was, you know, really interesting, actually, the counselling session. But it was funny because we were like, what will we say?
What if we're not good enough?
Yeah. So then it brought us to the cycle and up to the cycle. And then we went, did the whole IVF, all the injections and everything. And as Katie said, like, we were in such a good position, like home wise, because I was working on Zoom. I was just teaching a few classes. There was no big into town, you know. Before the pandemic, I was like going job to job, like teach yoga and drama. I was like, oh, 20 minutes here, that'll be enough time to get to here. And it was just all go. So it was definitely perfect time. So we just basically sat back and relaxed and did the IVF. And it was actually a really nice process, because unlike most couples, they're coming to, especially heterosexual couples, they're coming to IVF as a last resort. Whereas for us, it was first, you know. So we were like, oh my God, this is so interesting. You know, there was a lot less pressure on us, I think. Than there would be on another straight couple.
Definitely less stress, because it was like, this was our first option, you know, the first thing we were going to try. And just with the place that we were at with our lives, we had so much time and focus and attention to put into it. And if it didn't work, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. We would just try again. Mm-hmm. So I think that really helped to kind of take the pressure off a little bit.
And how did you feel physically undergoing the IVF? Did you feel it was tough on your body?
Yeah, no, I really couldn't say I found it tough at all. I really flew through it, and all we had heard was, you know, you do hear that, you hear it's so tough on the body, you hear, but I just made it I do feel like the power of the mind is really important. But like, I just kind of called people on Instagram. I deleted any, I unfollowed people who had, like, I was following a lot of people for IVF. Yeah. And then it was like, you know, people were talking about their failed cycles, and I was like, unfollow. Yeah. And I was not having that. It's not in my headspace. And the two of us were just like, this is going to work, you know? Mm. And we had little mantras that we would do every evening doing the injections. And we were just, like, I definitely had a bit of swelling when they were doing the egg collection. Like, that was probably the hardest part.
Yeah, I remember you had the heat packs.
Yeah, and we made these kind of castor oil packs, which was really good for the swelling. And that was kind of like the most uncomfortable bit, was the swelling and the egg collection. And then I suppose it was just, it's so mentally, I suppose it could be so mentally draining, but we were just like, right, we're doing this. We just kept kind of,
we had nothing else happening in our life at that point. It was, I don't know if you remember, like in 2020, everything kind of opened up a little bit in kind of September, October. And then there was like a month of time in kind of November, December, where everything was closed. So we were just at home every day. Like, we were both kind of doing bits of work online, but like, you've got to do the injections at the same time every day, in the morning and the evening. We were always here together. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd do the injections and then we'd sit down, have a chat, you know, think about what was going to happen, talk about what we hoped would happen. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really nice kind of little ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you were exactly where you needed to be.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
And we were together, which was cool, because all of the, you know, obviously all the appointments and stuff, Jo was on her own because it was COVID, you know. I don't go into the clinic or anything.
So tell me about that phone call. Did you wait for the phone call, or did you have a positive test at home?
this is going to make me cry, because it does every time. So you probably heard about the 2-week wait, when you basically have to wait 2 weeks to see if it worked or not. Anyway, so I had obviously gotten all the information on my own, because Katie was in the car. Even when they did the transfer, she was in the car. But they gave me a sheet of paper with all the directions, basically telling me, act like you're pregnant for the next 2 weeks. Don't do this. And then you can test. On the at very bottom, it said, do a home test on the 25th of December. And I was like, Christmas Day? What? And I'm obsessed with Christmas. Don't. So I went out to the car, and we're very kind of like, if someone tells us something once, we're like, right, oh God, that's gospel. So we were like, somebody told us before, I don't know how we heard this, that the home pregnancy test wouldn't be strong enough and you should wait for the blood test. So we were like, we're waiting for the blood test. We're not going to do it. Could be false positive. Why would we do that to ourselves? Blah, blah, blah. So we were like, we're doing, you know. And so then they gave me this piece of paper and I was like, oh, do the home test. And she was like, yeah, the 25th of December, do your home test. And I was like, okay. So I didn't tell Katie. And then I wrapped up a pregnancy test for Christmas for her. So Christmas morning, obviously I have to do it for the first pee. And I was bursting to go to the toilet at 6 a.m. I was like, Katie, wake up. Santa came. What?
Go like, away. Six in the morning. Why are you waking me up? Leave me alone. It's so Christmas Day.
I poked her enough to wake her up anyway and gave her the pregnancy test. And she was like, what the hell? No, we're not allowed to do it, you know? Proper rules, you know. And I was like, no, we're allowed. She was like, really? And I was like, yeah. So we did it. And because of the pandemic and everything, we hadn't really seen my family much because they're in Tip and Cork. And so we all went to a hotel for Christmas so that it would be the safest place for my family and parents and everything. So we were in a hotel with all of my family. And that morning we found out like it was positive toilet, and we were just like, oh my God, it worked too. It was just like, it worked. What the hell? So I was pregnant then, hanging out with all my family, and we didn't tell anybody because I think we were in such shock that it actually worked.
You knew it was going to work.
We knew it was going to work. Yeah. We knew it was going to work. But we also said, look, if it doesn't work, at least we're with our family and we can, you know, we're not, you know, being sad or whatever. Mm. So that was when we knew it was positive. We still kind of wanted to wait for the blood test. And then, yeah, actually they were so nice in Sims. I video called Katie. So they were like, do you want a video call while we do the scan? So we video called and she was able to see the scan and everything. And it was just, yeah, very, very emotional and very surreal now looking back to think like that was Sunny all along, you know.
Very hard to like correlate the two things in your head.
Yeah.
Like there's kind of the treatment and the pregnancy, and then there's like this little dude that we have in our life now, you know, and it's hard to kind of make sense of the fact that was him all along.
Like when we think back of like all of the injections and everything that we had to do, that we had to do was all for this little tiny human. We knew we were, you know, at the time you think, oh, I just want to get pregnant. And you know, you do kind of go through, actually one thing, you kind of jump ahead at the start, like everyone does, you know, you're like, oh, what if it's a boy? What will we name it? What will we name it a girl? And then when you're in the cycle, you're like, you take every single day as a huge success. You know, by the time you get to the egg collection, you're like, I hope I have enough eggs. And then they collect them. You're like, oh my God, okay, I have enough eggs. That was that box ticked. And I knew it was almost like we could always come back to that. So if it didn't work, if they didn't fertilize and we didn't get embryos, at least I knew I had eggs. So I could come back to that.
Yeah,
if
you're always just have kind to of go again on the next step instead of like seeing the whole process.
Yeah. Like before we did it, I was like, oh, if it's a boy, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, okay, it just forces you to stay in the present, for me anyway, so much. Cause it was like, everything was like a new kind of goal to get to. And then it was like, okay, we had embryos and it was like, okay, put them in. And it was like, okay. And then if it didn't materialize to a pregnancy, we knew, okay, we can make embryos. You know, we got that far, so we could go back again and go again.
Did you feel a change when you saw that positive test? Like you wanted to look after yourself a little bit more or anything like that?
No, because
did you feel different?
No, I don't think I did because we were doing the IVF, it was like, I was eating really well.
And it already felt different, probably.
I suppose it already felt different anyway, you know, because it was like the journey had already started even from months beforehand, because we had it in our heads like this is kind of the goal and this is what we're aiming for.
So how many scans did you have with Sims? Did you have a set amount before you moved on to the hospital?
We had a 7-week scan, wasn't it? And then
And then they were like, okay, bye.
I think good luck. It was a 7-week scan.
Which is weird because we were used to going there and then all of a sudden, right, well done.
Off you go, job done, box good ticked. But there's something about their insurance, like they can't do scans past the 10 weeks or something. And it was like, I was like, so where do I go for my 10-week scan? They were like, oh, do you know you could choose your hospital now? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, are you not going to come with me? Like,
yeah, there's probably a bit of that actually because you're so used to it and comfortable there.
You get so used to them and it's always the same kind of few nurses. And
we were really lucky in that way that I actually like had the same nurse for the egg collection, the same nurses then for the transfer, which was just lovely. Like that continuity of care, you don't really get it anywhere. And I don't think everybody gets that. Like it just happened to be.
It's nice that you at least had a familiar face there, considering Joe couldn't be with you for the appointments.
Because yeah. I was absolutely out of my mind when they did the egg collection. Because they gave, I don't know what kind of drugs they gave me.
Actually in the same week I had gotten four of my wisdom teeth out, and it was the same like sedative or whatever. So there's like a video of Joe that I took after they like let me. Brought me in to get her after they did the egg collection, and she's just totally out of her mind.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
And Katie was the same, like four or five.
Great crack in your house that week.
Yeah. And the dog got really sick as well. It was like everything happened in the same week.
So let's talk about your care. Did you decide to go public, semi-private, or private?
Yeah, so we went public, and. Yeah,
we actually went for a private scan at 10 weeks though before that.
We went for a private scan. There's a really lovely clinic in Bray, and it was just, that was when it actually felt real, because even when I went for the 12 week scan, I think it was maybe 13 weeks, it just wasn't even the same. Like with Katie, because obviously she couldn't come in with me, so we went for this scan, and I remember like I saw it on the screen and I just went and then I didn't move for the rest of the scan, because I just knew I was going to bawl, and I didn't want to be like have my tummy going up and down. But Katie was like, why isn't she saying anything? Like, what's wrong?
Oh yeah, because we were in the ultrasound place, and it's kind of like, it's really nice, it's kind of dimly lit, and you know, it's really quiet and relaxing, and like Joe has the mask on, I've got the mask on as well, and your one's like, this is the whatever, you know, showing us, and Joe's just completely dead silent, not saying anything, barely even breathing. And I was like, are you okay? Like, are you all right? Such a non-reaction, because you were just so overwhelmed.
I was just trying to hold in the tears because I could feel it. And I was like, my tummy's just going to hang here and then it's going to be useless.
Yeah, it was pretty special actually, that one, because they were like, there's the heartbeat, and then you could like see it on the screen and hear it.
So when did you start thinking about birth and your preferences? And when did you decide to avail of the services of a doula? I know you worked with Pam. She's amazing. She's so well informed. So yeah, tell me more about that.
I suppose.
When did you do the postnatal?
Yeah,
prenatal, was it?
Yeah. So I actually decided to do my postnatal yoga teacher training, or prenatal pregnancy yoga teacher training at the same time. It just happened to come up, and I was like, okay, this is a perfect opportunity to do this while I'm pregnant. And it was all online and it was deadly. And it was actually a doula course combined with it, which was really great. And I was like, okay, I'm not really into like sitting down reading all the books. So I was like, I might as well go to a few lectures and learn this way. It was probably around March. But there was a hypnobirthing course that was provided by like Kildare Wicklow County Council, I think.
Brilliant. With the German lady?
Yeah, and it was with woman, and
Suzanne.
She was actually, she actually works in the Coombe, so it was just a coincidence. And she was running these workshops every Thursday night, and it was like, it would be like an hour and a half of like birth, talking about the birth, almost like an antenatal class. And then like half an hour of the hypnobirthing tracks, she'd read them out, and it was just.
And they were free, were they?
It was free.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
So it was brilliant. And it was so like, she was like, oh, you ask for this and you get this and you don't listen to them because this is what you want. And it was just so, she was amazing, really, really empowering. And there was a breastfeeding workshop as well.
More than once, Joe would be doing her hypnobirthing class and I would either come in from work or come down the stairs, and your one Suzanne would be chatting away there on the screen and Joe would be fast asleep.
Oh,
fast asleep. How's your? Oh, I just love the hypnobirthing so much.
God. But they sent us the tracks, so we used to listen to them going to bed again as well.
Yeah,
brilliant. So we just kind of, I just got really into it then, and like as Katie said, like I didn't really have much else going on, and I was like, right, you know, I just got so interested in birth, and then I came across Pam somewhere, and I was like, oh my God, like this person is just deadly. Like, we need to, we decided then we were going to invest our money in, like, we had been doing acupuncture all the way through and then okay. continued to do that. And I was like, look, I think that people spend, you know, people spend so much money on their weddings, getting their body in a certain way. And I was like, we're going to put we've put so much money into this already. We're not going to stop now. So I was still going to acupuncture. We were like, we want to, you know, we were going in blind. We didn't really have a clue what was going to happen with the birth, but we wanted to have a doula for sure. And then we asked Pam, and Pam was obviously going through loads of stuff in her own life. And she was like, hold on a few weeks and I'll let you know. And then we kind of decided if we didn't have Pam, we didn't really want to have anyone, because we knew, because Katie had actually kind of sat in on some of the pregnancy classes on Zoom.
We actually, yeah, it wasn't that we wanted a doula. We just wanted Pam.
Yeah. So
because you had so much information, like you had done, like Jo did it as well as the hypnobirthing, like she did a prenatal yoga teacher training course, which was like just so much information. And there was people from all over the world like sharing their experiences. We also, like, because we were at home and everything was on Zoom, we did every course going. Like, we did baby care, first aid. I did a breastfeeding course at one point because I signed up for it being like, this will be great for Jo now. Yeah. I forgot to tell her. And then the day before, they sent me an email like, log in for tomorrow, whatever. And I was like, oh, come here, I signed up for this breastfeeding thing tomorrow. And she was like, I'm working, I have a class. So I was like, grad, so much in the class. So I'm writing notes that I'm trying to like convey all the information back to Jo. But it was great. Everything was there, you know. Like anything you wanted to learn, you could just log on and learn on Zoom in a way that we wouldn't have been able to if we were, you know, working in person full time and then also had to actually go to these things in a place.
It's amazing the way you guys just naturally gravitated towards like preparation. You went straight into preparation mode from really early on, which is really nice to hear, because not many people do that with their first pregnancy.
Yeah, you know what, actually, I think people do that for the second birth. They're like, I'd love to do it now, but we just got so into it. And I think I just thought, this is the best thing in the friggin' world. Like, and I felt so good. I actually never felt so strong in all my life either. I was like, yes, this is, I suppose we were just so over the moon that it was had worked. And it was like, this is magic. Like, you know, this is gonna be parents and, you know, we're going to put every single in. And I really, like, I just jumped right in. I was like, right, every day I was like, wasn't like, oh, I have to do my class at the end of today. It was like, my whole day was all about the class almost. But I think, you know, obviously I was lucky enough, you know, because of the pandemic in that way, that we could do things. You know, obviously it was, there was all of the stuff was going on about whether our partners could be in for the birth. And there was, all of that was happening online and all of these marches. And there was just so much that we could have gone into that negatively. And we could have been like, oh, what are we going to do? What if I'm on my own? I was like, if I'm on my own, I can control this. I'm going to be fine. And I need to be fine, because there's every possibility Katie might not be with me. Pam definitely won't be with me. So I'm, you know, I can't come back after having the baby going, oh, sorry, baby. Like, you know, I didn't have Katie. I was like, I've got to step up here as much as I can, because I could be on my own.
Yeah. Like, there was definitely a lot of negatives, obviously, to the pandemic. And there was a lot of like kind of what ifs. And a lot of stress, especially towards the end, like, but there was also a lot of kind of perks, I guess, that we didn't really think about beforehand, just in that how much support was available online and everybody was kind of offering advice and kind of workshops and stuff. And we had so much time to really kind of delve into that.
So out of my two children, Eva is naturally the most curious. She's in at everything. She wants to see what's in every press. She wants to see how every toy works. Is just into everything. And although it's just a new way of parenting that I didn't have with Oliver, I just had to be prepared for this child who's being stimulated constantly. So say hello to Brain Building with PandaCrate. It's exactly what I needed. It's a subscription service for Play Essentials designed just for babies and toddlers aged 0 to 24 months. It's created by play experts at KiwiCo in partnership with Seattle Children's Hospital. PandaCrate is thoughtfully designed with care to stimulate your baby's brain development through play. PandaCreate is a science-backed, research-based approach to play and recognises that there's more to babyhood than the milestones itself. So within the PandaCreate, there was lacing beads. So Eva can sit down and do something like a jigsaw, but she'll have it done really quickly. And she, with the lacing beads, it takes her just a couple of minutes and she has to use both hands so she can really explore each piece, thread the shapes onto a string and develop bilateral coordination. Really, really handy. And also there's a peg puzzle. So it's another way to solve shapes, and it's nice. They're nice wooden, robust toys. They're easy to clean, nice solid shapes. And I find the other toys that you put, for her anyway, to put, say, a block into something is far too easy. So the peg puzzle was just really handy. It challenged her a little bit more than the others. Whether you're a first-time parent or not, PandaCreate provides a way to simplify the early years with just right products to support your baby's rapid development in the first 2 years of life. Countless hours go into creating the playthings in this box. KiwiCo designers ideate, iterate and prototype, test, review and revise, and then they do it all again. So every material, colour, angle and curve is a thoughtful choice designed to stimulate your baby's brain development through play. And as I mentioned before, you can really see that in, especially with the pieces in the peg puzzle. Unlock brain building play and create a foundation for early learning with PandaCreate from KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping with code IOREBIRTH at kiwico.com. That's 30% off your first month at kiwico.com with promo code IOREBIRTH. On to the rest of this week's episode. It's amazing you had access to so many resources, I know, with hypnobirthing. Some people, they simply can't afford it, and preparation isn't always within everyone's reach. So yeah, it's cool that you did all those courses and found so many free courses too. So Joe, tell me how you felt about what lay ahead. So birth and labour and birth, yeah.
And I couldn't wait for birth. I was so excited. I couldn't wait. And I felt like anytime I said that to people who'd already had kids, I could see their eyes rolling and I could see them being like, this one now, you know, like, can't wait for birth. Sure. Wait until she, you know, wait until she's in the throes of it now. You yeah. come. I could see them being like, oh, yeah. And then at 35 weeks, I went to our GP for a scan. And the obviously this nurse's midwife saw me coming, but, you know, me being like, oh, I'm so excited. I didn't say a word to her because I was like, obviously very protective of my space as well. And I was like, right, this is my bubble. Anyone wants to come in or out, you can, you know, you, I was keeping people at arm's length as well because yeah. I want to protect myself. But she was like, you do know your baby is a breech. And I was like, nope. I didn't know that. She was like, yeah. That's the bum there. It's actually sideways. And I was like, okay, great. I wasn't aware of that because it didn't, you know, anyway. She was going on like this for ages. And then she was like, have they no plan for you? Have they no plan? She was trying to get me, trying to really, really upset me and make me worried. And I was like, okay, no problem. She goes, you're probably going to have section. And I was like,
yeah, I was waiting for that.
I was like, yeah. She goes, you do know if your baby's breech, you have to have a section. I was like, I do. Yeah, no problem. And if I do, you know, like, it's not the worst thing in the whole world, like, you know, especially if it was going to be a planned section. So then we left. I'll never forget. It was the Friday of the August bank holiday weekend. My family were coming up from Tip for the weekend. And this woman had like, she was like, I need to get the doctor. She got the doctor in. Doctor's like, she goes, sir, you take a look at her now. Isn't that baby breech? And she was like, yeah, I think so. Yeah. God, they've no plan for her in the coom. And it was all like, 45 minutes. I was meant to be there for like 5 minutes. And I was like, okay. And I walked out and I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, what, who are these people and why are they? And actually, just as I left, she pulled me back. She was like, if you go into labor over the weekend, make sure, call an ambulance straight away because you can't give birth naturally. And I was like, I'm 35 weeks pregnant. What are you talking about? She was like, well, you know, you never know. And I was like, well, it was actually, in hindsight, I was delighted because I was like, this is it was kind of like a prep of what could have happened in hospital, you know. Someone in this kind of headspace challenging me, I was like, no problem, baby's breech, must be, two people are saying it. So then from that, like, we spent the weekend at my family, had a lovely time, and then Monday it was like, right, on to the acupuncturist, when can you get me in? We're doing this
the moxibustion, I think. Yeah.
So then we were like, morning and evening, Katie's down at my toe, circling it.
You were like, I'm a personal trainer and I kind of work a split shift most days. So I'd be home in the middle of the day and I'd be like, right, come on, knees up on the couch, like chest down on the floor. And we're like trying to spin the baby. That we were on to Pam night and day. What do we do next, Pam? What's the next thing, you know? A load of my clients would be like women who have already had kids. So they were all, you know, with the advice. What I did was this, you could try that. At one stage we had frozen peas, like frozen peas ice or something at the top of the bump and then shining a light up at the bottom because someone told me that this works. And we were like, I can try anything. Do you know what I mean? So we were there shining a light up into the
baby, going, come on, baby, come on.
Calling the baby to turn around and then frozen peas on top of the bump. Oh, man, we tried everything, like, because we were like, we have to just, you know, give it a go and something will work.
And then it got to Wednesday and I was like, screw this. I'm already trying to force our kid to do something it doesn't want to do. It's not even out of the womb. If it wants to come out, if it wants to be breached, if it wants to come as a section, so what? I was like, I'm not spending the rest of my pregnancy in this mindset of like, I need to turn the baby. So I was like, if I need to have a section, great. So I was like, right, let's have a birth plan for a section. Katie was a little bit, I kind of made peace with it, but Katie didn't really, did you?
No, because I was listening to one of those audiobooks with all the different birth stories in it. And I was just a bit freaked out about the whole thing.
Katie thought my recovery would be really tough and, you know, obviously it is a lot slower. And also we've done all this research on the vaginal birth. She was like, oh, we've done all this.
Yeah, like, I was kind of raging as well that we weren't going to get to have the like whole labor and, you know, like I was ready. We've been training for it, you know. We had like Pam had us prepped. I was like, I want to do the whole thing, you know. I want to like, and I wanted you to have that experience as well because I felt like that was like a huge part of it.
It definitely
But then
was,
at the same time, I was trying to be like, yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, because like I just wanted you to be in a good headspace no matter what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So even though inside I was like shitting and brick being like, no, I don't really don't want you to have a section. But then also trying to be like, yeah, that's cool if that's what the baby wants.
So we got to the Wednesday. I was like, grand, bring us in for a section, it'll be fine. And then on the Thursday was I would go every Thursday was my day to go to the hospital then or between the GP and the hospital.
Did we at that stage have a plan with Pam about having a section or was that later?
No, it was later.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
She didn't. So then it was the Thursday and I went in and there was this, it was in the middle of the restrictions and everything, but I was like, it had been such a week. I was like, Kate, you're coming in with me and no one's going to ask any questions. I need you there. I need you for support. If we're going to be talking about a section, I need her to be there. So because she's...
this was actually when it was probably a perk to be a same-sex couple because I just walked into the hospital and sat down in the waiting room and no one asked me anything. So I was just sitting there beside Joe, mask on, just
like waiting. Another pregnant person?
Yeah.
I went in then to the midwife and she was like, I was like, this is my wife. She's going to stay with us for the appointment. Is that okay? And the midwife's like, no problem. I can't even see over at that side of the room anyway. So it's totally fine.
She was like this lovely, like older woman. And she was like, I never saw you today. I've never met you before in my life. I don't know who you are. You're not here. And we were like, grand, okay.
So anyway, I told her, look, this is what the midwife and the GP told me. And, you know, I told her that first. And then she went through everything else first, all through the birth plan, back over my family history. It was gorgeous. And then she's like, okay, let's check where the baby is. And then she was like, oh, that baby's head is down. Katie, come on over. This is how you check. baby's head is there. That's the baby's bum. And I was like, I fucking knew it. I knew the baby was down all along.
She was amazing though. She was so calm. And she literally, like, she just took my hand and like put it like where the head was and was like, that's the head. In case you're ever not sure again, just have a little feel. The head is there. The baby is fine.
Yeah, it was deadly. And then she was like, you know what you do now for the next 4 weeks? You just come here. Don't go to your GP anymore. And I was like, thank you. So we just went, we just drove into town then every 50 minutes. It was good practice because each time we were like, okay, we'll go this route and we'll go this route. So then jumped to like week 40 then and no budge. I started collecting colostrum around week 38 and then
we did all the bits.
Did everything we to did try everything. And bring on.
We were like messaging mom literally daily. What can we do now? What can we do now? You were eating the dates. We had the evening primrose oil. We're bouncing on the ball. What else? Collecting the colostrum.
Pumping.
Yeah.
Clary Sage.
Yeah, Clary Sage, a whole bottle. We used a whole bottle. I was glad we used it, the smell of it.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So we had everything from like week 38. And I was like, this is things people do after 40 weeks. But anyway,
we were so ready. We were like, right, let's do it now.
Yeah. And I was I also had it in my head. I was like, oh, I'm going to go early. Totally. And also people were like, yeah, first baby or one thinks she's going to go early. Anyway, week 40, I went in. On the Thursday again, and this doctor said, it was 39. She said, look, we'll bring you in next week and we'll give you a sweep. You know, if you'd like a sweep, we'll give you a sweep and then see if we can get things moving. So it was week four, it was the Thursday then of the week 41. And I went in for the checkup and the doctor was there and she said, okay, would you like a sweep? So I said, yes, I would like a sweep actually. So then she did the sweep and then it was like this moment. And this was the first time when I was like, okay, I need to have my wits about me at every point of this because the doctors are just, as we said earlier, like this just second nature to them. They just say things so quickly. And so I remember I got the sweep and then she closed back the curtain and she was like, okay. And telling me all of these things. And I was like, the first time I'd seen blood since, you know, my period 10 months ago, I was like, dear Lord, hold on a sec. I was like, could you just hold on a second and tell me in a minute because I need to like process this, clean myself and put my pants up. And then can we talk? And she's like, yeah, no problem. Back in a minute. So she went, to see because it was an IVF pregnancy, there was all this like, you know, you probably heard it before, like.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Once you get to a certain date, they're like, oh no, we need to bring you in. We have to induce you because it's IVF. 41 weeks or a week and a half over or something like that. There was a certain point you can't go any further.
Yeah, I couldn't go further than 7 days. And they were like, no, we can't do it even to 10 days because of the IVF.
So she went off to check and make sure this was right. And then she came back in and she said, look, we're going to bring it in for induction, you know, after 7 days because of the IVF. And I'm going to talk you through the induction now. Is that okay? And I was like, great. And then I was like, can I record you, please? Is that okay? Because I'm going to have to relay all this to Katie. I just had a sweep. And I think people kind of brush the sweep under the carpet, like no pun intended. But people kind of breeze over it, in for a sweep, da-da-da sweep. It's a big deal. Like, it's a bigger deal than people kind of think it is. So I was like, okay, I need a minute. And then Katie, I asked her, her name was actually Katie as well. I said, can I record this for my wife? Because, you know, how am I going to remember all these things? So we pressed record. She was very open to it. She said, no problem. Pressed record and she talked through everything. They were going to bring me in on Tuesday. And, you know, check in and da 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 da. And she went through everything. You know, we're going to do the pessary and then the prostaglandin. And then if that doesn't, you know, then we'll, it was almost like, it was almost a given that that wouldn't work. And then, you know, we leave you 24 hours and we'll give you another one. And what did they do after the pessary?
I don't know.
We didn't get that far anyway.
Spoiler.
So then it was like, oh, got to the Monday night and I was like, oh God, no butch.
So no, in the meantime, you had sent the recording to Pam so she could tell us basically what was going on with your one.
So, you know, from Pam was our doula, just for other people who are listening in. Pam, you might know her.
People just joined us now.
In case we didn't. Welcome everyone. In case people are like, who's Pam? Pam is a Pilates teacher and she's also a doula and she's incredible. Follow her on Instagram. She's amazing. We had Pam on call from 38 weeks and, you know, you go to the loo and you're like, oh, is this it? And at some point, what I thought was the mucus plug came out. I mean, I don't know if it was, definitely wasn't as big a deal as what I thought it was going to be. But Katie was like, how are you now? How are you now? Anything? Like, are you okay now?
I was off work from 40 weeks because I was like, well, the baby's coming on the 31st because I just didn't understand really how due dates worked. And I was like, well, that's when it's going to be here. So I better be off work. But like also in the like 2 or 3 weeks previous, like every single client that I saw was like, any baby? Have you had the baby yet? Has your wife had the baby? Or like asking or being like, you should do this. She should try this. Has she tried eating this or drinking this or doing that? And I was like, just getting so stressed about it that I was going to like, you know, go take my time off now or whatever. So then for the week, I was like, well, anything? I feel anything? But yeah, it was actually a really good like lesson. In hindsight, you know, at the time I was like, this is horrendous. When is the baby coming? Why won't anyone tell us? Like, what the hell? Like your life is going to change in the biggest way possible. And it could be today. It could also be not for another month.
Yeah.
It could be any time in between them. And you have no way of knowing.
That's actually a really nice perspective because on this podcast, we only ever hear the perspective of the woman who's about to give birth. And we very rarely hear the birth partner's perspective on how they feel about the lack of control surrounding the due date.
You're also trying to stay calm, but like there's nothing calm about it because you're like, oh my God, this could happen any second, but also not. So you're in this like heightened state of adrenaline for just an inevitable amount of time.
So I actually was delighted in that week 40 because or 41 because Katie was off and I had been off. One of my friends had a baby 4 weeks before me, and we'd been pregnant together. And then she just deserted me, you know, 4 weeks before I was going to have my baby. She had her baby, and I was like, who am I going to hang out with now? You know. So by the time we got to Katie's week off, I was like, oh, brilliant! I have someone to hang out with now. Great. So we went on kind of like a staycation around Wicklow. It was actually gas because we were told all these things, how to get the dog used to the baby, and obviously we talked about this at the start. But one of the things that Katie read about was, you know, get them used to the buggy. So we were like, right, let's go out with the buggy. So we couldn't go out around where we live with the buggy because everyone would be like, oh, you had the baby. No, it's an empty buggy. So who were those weirdos? So we went up to Glendalough with the buggy and the dog. And then we were walking around with the buggy and the dog. And I was 10 months pregnant. I could barely walk. And we're like trying to walk and also hide the fact that there was nothing in the buggy because people would think we were lost the plot.
That's actually a lovely idea, because there's nothing more than you want to do when you have that lovely new buggy for the first time than to bring it out for a walk.
Yeah, but we were like walking past people and like we had the dog and like you know the way people kind of stop and talk to you. And we were there like kind of, I was kind of like rocking the buggy like to make it look like there's a baby. That also being like, don't ask if you can see the baby because there's no baby
in it. It was hilarious. A lot, and I was just basically stopping every 2 minutes thinking I was going to wee myself. And then Katie's like, you okay?
They were like, how is that woman so pregnant and she's got another baby in the buggy?
Yeah. So then anyway, got to the night before, and Pam came over and she was like, right, let's talk through everything. We listened back to what the doctor had said. And what was really interesting, actually, at the end of the voice, it was a voice note. She said, all you have to think about is get yourself here for 6:30 on Tuesday morning. That's all you have to worry about. And it was just like, no, like that's not, it was just so like, oh, don't be worrying about all this. Just get yourself there and you'll be fine. It was real kind of old school or something. So we talked through everything with Pam and all the different kind of things that could happen. And basically, because of the sweep that she'd done, the sweep, and we were talking about Bishop score and stuff, and she said that I wasn't dilated, but apparently if you're not dilated then they can't do the sweep. But she said I'm not dilated and she did a sweep anyway. So it was just really confusing, and I was really confused that time when I was in with her on my own, and I felt like I definitely would have had my wits about me, but I was like, I didn't in that moment. And I was like, going in tomorrow, I was like, I don't want to make any decisions without Katie there. So that was kind of like what I was going in with for the induction. I was like, look, whatever happens, I'm not doing anything without Katie. And no matter, you know, whatever it is about the restrictions, I'll wait for her to be there before we make any decisions. So we got to the car park, or whatever, 6:20 on the Tuesday morning. And Katie was like, look, go with, you know, what's your gut telling you? And I was like, I can't read myself right now. I don't know what's going on. And I just felt, I remember actually crying in the car park when we were going in. Mm. I was like, this is just, it wasn't the way we thought it was going to be, because we thought we'll be laboring at home for ages. Pam will come over. We'll have the rebozo. I had stories ready to tell Pam and everything. I was like, yeah, I'm storing these for the day when we're going to be in labor. And like, I just.
Yeah, I think as well, like so much of the prep with Pam was like, you know, we kind of thought everything with the restrictions was up in the air. We knew Pam wouldn't be able to be in the hospital. We knew I probably wasn't going to be able to be there. So all along our plan was just to stay at home for as long as we could, you know?
Yeah.
And we were like, we'll just do as much as we can at home. We'll get like really comfortable. Then we'll have Pam there and she can tell us when we need to go to the hospital, you know? And that was like one of the main things, I think, in our very first consultation with Pam. She was like, what do you feel like you need? And what do you feel like you want from a doula? And I was like, well, how will we know when it's time to go to the hospital? You know, like I felt like we would just go, you know, we need to go now, but actually we wouldn't need to go at that point. You know, just knowing like how long we could kind of do it ourselves for. And that was kind of always our plan. So then when all of that was kind of taken out of the equation, it was like a whole different plan then, right?
Yeah.
Because you were like walking in to the hospital alone and not in labor.
Yeah, because also I haven't talked about like, oh, this is where we'll drive. We'll drive up to here. I'll drop you off, you know, when I'm in labor. So anyway, went in and we had talked about trying to get checked without being admitted. But I asked for that and they said, no, you have to be admitted before you can be checked. Or
oh, yeah. So that was one thing that Pam said. When you go in, get them to check you. And if you're dilated at all, then you can go home and wait to be more dilated, you know?
Yeah. But okay. They, you know, we have to admit you first. So they admitted me and I got to the hospital. And I was like, I was sitting in the, sit down in the bed. And I was like, I've never been in hospital before, which is really weird. I'd never spent a night in a hospital, never been in hospital in my life. And I was like, this is so strange. What do I do? Like, you know, obviously felt fine, you know, because I wasn't feeling any, like I felt, you know, I was obviously 41 weeks pregnant. I felt very big. And I was very uncomfortable at that point. And my feet were so big, like they were like balloons. So I was like, right, okay, I'll get myself set up. If I am going to be induced, then you know, I want the place to be nice. And we had, like, you know, the fairy lights and everything, all the stuff that we'd planned. And they told us this with the antenatal classes. They were like, set up your space. If, you know, get your environment in the right place for you, create it, you know, you can do this. You can do whatever you want with the space. And when they were doing the antenatal classes, she said, loads of people saw this image that we put up on Instagram of this lovely place that had salt lamps and candles and everything, and people who had had babies there before were like, the room isn't like this, you know, this is, you know, this isn't actually true. And they were like, no, it is, but it's up to you guys to do it. So I was like, I had a few affirmation cards and I had the naked doula cards as well. I didn't know if it was going to be there for long or not, so I made, like, in the little locker, a little shrine for myself of all these cards. And like, we had crystals, and I'm not mad into crystals, but like, we brought one for the egg, the transfer,
the rose quartz.
And I was like, oh, this must be your lucky charm. Bring it with us. Pam gave us a rose quartz as well. So I had those, and I was like, I'll just put them here. They'll be nice and handy if I need to leave again. And then the first midwife that came around, she was like, she placed my file down and, like, you know, took my blood pressure. And she was just at the end of her shift. And I was like, sorry, I was wondering if you could talk me through what's going to happen today. And she was like, did nobody tell you already? And I was like, oh my God, no. Mm. 6:30 in the morning. I don't want to be here. And you don't want to be here either. And anyway, she talked through it. And then she was like, and then we'll break your waters and then, you know, you'll have your baby. And I was like, is there any way, like, we could delay breaking the waters? Or she was like, that's the whole point of you coming in here, is to get induced, break your waters, have your baby. I was like, okay. And I heard, then she left and I heard someone say to her, see you tonight, blah, 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 whatever her name was. And in my head, I was like, I am not going to be here tonight. I can never see that woman again. I just can't have her in my headspace or in my birth space. So then they came around and they said, look, the doctor came around and said, look, oh, we're ready to induce you now. And I said, look, is there any way that we could delay this? Because I'm not the stereotypical IVF pregnancy. I don't have any fertility issues. She said, yeah, absolutely. Your body, your choice, whatever you wish. Let's send you for a scan and see how the baby's doing. So she sent me down for an ultrasound. And then the girl in the ultrasound suite was saying, look, everything looks great except for the baby's measuring quite small, and they hadn't done an ultrasound since 20 weeks. So she was like, look, we can't really say that, you know, it could have been progressing at a lovely rate, but now at 41 weeks, it still looks really small. So she said, look, that could go against you and they might actually induce you. And I was like, look, if that's the reason why they're inducing me, then okay. But I didn't want to be induced because of the IVF. It doesn't feel like a valid reason for me. So then we went back up and it was 9:20 and the doctor came back around. She was looking at my file and she was like, look, the baby is measuring quite small. We would recommend induction now. But obviously if you want to go home, that's up to you, but we wouldn't be able to stand over it if anything did happen. So I was like, okay, could we talk about this again in 10 minutes? Because visiting hours was at 9:30. So then Katie came in at 9:30 and then the doctor came back around. She was so amazing. She was like, talked through everything again, told Katie everything. And then we just had a minute together. We were like, right, okay, this actually feels like, this is the right thing to do. So then they popped in the prostaglandin at 10. I remember it was 10:01, I think. And then I lay down on the bed for about 40 minutes. And then it was like, whoosh, all like full in, full steam ahead. It was just started. I started reacting to it very quickly.
I think you went to sleep for a little bit and then you woke up and you were pumping.
Yeah.
And you were on the ball.
Oh, you were pumping, were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you had been pumping like a few days before to kind of like try and kick off the labor.
And I was getting contractions from pumping.
Yeah. And then they would go away again.
Yeah. So I was trying to bring on the contractions. And so I was pumping and it was definitely it was really working. So all of that was working together. And this was at 10. Yeah. By 11 o'clock, it was like I was feeling it coming on. So then I'm just going to go back here a second because
it was pretty funny actually, because they were like, right, here's the thing. And then they just kind of left us to it, like in the ward.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Like in the ward, they had like they had the balls, they had yoga mats, they had like everything there, but it was just kind of like, they were like, right, we'll come back in a while.
It was kind of like, oh, we'll leave you to it. But you know, you really had to kind of know all the things to do because no one was like, here's your ball, here's the thing. It was like you had to go around and kind of get them, which is fine. But I actually, one of the things that was deadly was...
That was you asleep at one point with your little shrine.
Oh, yeah. So it was so funny. I like put up the fairy lights and then all the staff be going past and like, it's like a shrine in there. So cute. And then someone was like, it's like a spa. Oh, it's so nice, isn't it? Oh, love, you've a gorgeous... and then I thought like Katie wouldn't be as like... kind of confident as me in that kind of sense. I thought she'd be a bit I thought you'd be a bit embarrassed by the lights. So I was like, oh, I don't know if Katie's going to help me with this, you know, because I was like starting to decorate it all then. And then she was like, bah, 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 putting it all up. And I was like, yes. I thought I told you that.
What?
Yeah. But you told me, you were like, no, I was just there doing whatever it was.
I was
that
just
you
doing
wanted.
Whatever you wanted, yeah.
And it was brilliant and it was really cute. So then we were walking up and down and
Then you were basically in the full on labor. Like,
yeah,
you basically were like, you were getting the contractions and the pains there.
And do you feel your hypnobirthing kicked in then when things started to ramp up?
Yeah. We were just full on.
You were like, you went to another place.
So we came back up. So I remember I went for my second shower. One of the midwives was like, the shower isn't like for hygiene. It's, you know, it's for pain relief. So go sit down, get Katie in there.
Oh, she sent you up to a different one because there was a seat and you could sit down.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah. I went into the shower and then this was later on. And this was like, I remember at one point I was in the shower and it was the only point in the whole thing where I thought, I can't do this. I remember leaning against the wall and I'd read a book that birth skills. I'd read it, you know, kind of skimmed over it a few months beforehand. And then I text my friend who gave it to me the day before and I was like, I can't remember what happened in this book. Can you give me like 5 points from it? And she said, look, tapping is a really good thing to get you out of your head, just like whether you have your rings on or tapping the wall just to distract yourself. So I remember being in the shower and I just started tapping my fingers when I thought I couldn't do it. And I read somewhere else or on something I heard. Actually, it was a meditation I did beforehand. I remember doing it in the bath like a few nights beforehand. You know, and you're like thinking about the rose opening up. And I'm like, come on, open up cervix. I was like practically writing letters to my cervix like to open up. So I heard on one of the tracks, where the mind goes, the body follows. So I was like, I heard that coming in to my head. I can't do this. And I was like, no. You get out of my mind now. And then I got out of the bath or the shower and Katie said she thought I was going to pass out at that point. Did you?
Yeah, at one point when you were in the shower, your eyes were kind of rolling back in your head. You kind of looked like you were going to faint.
Yeah. And then I got out of the shower and I was like, you need to leave. She was like, what's wrong? I was like, I need to go to the toilet. You need to leave. So then it was very conveniently, there was a sink beside the toilet because I was getting sick. And it was a very, very sexy moment. I was like, oh, come on. The rest of the day isn't going to go very nice. So like, could you leave for a minute, please? So then anyway, I came back out and I went back to the bed and I was, you know, all this like rest in between your contractions. I wasn't getting a second to even sit down, and it was back up again. Like, it literally didn't have a second. So Katie went down to the midwives and she was like, here, you can take over now.
Oh yeah. Cause at that point I was like, Joe's definitely having the baby. Like, this is it. Like, this is the labor. Cause it was really intense and it was pretty like close together as well. So we were just in the ward. So I went back up to where the nurses and the midwives were. And I was like, do you think like you could just check on Joe? Like, I think she's kind of having the baby. And they're like, oh yeah, she having contractions. That's great. And, you know, just keep her comfortable. She's going to be fine. And I was like, yeah, no, but could you check? Because I think the baby's like, you know, the baby's coming.
And they were a bit like, oh, we're going to check her in the morning. You know, yeah. Katie was like, the morning.
This was about 3 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
Or earlier even too, maybe. But anyway, then they came down and they did the blood pressure, was it?
They did the blood pressure. And then
the scan.
One of the student midwives started tracking the contractions on my tummy. And I thought, like, I'd never heard of this before. And like, she was like, are you going to get one now? And I was like, yeah, how do you know? And it was deadly. Like, because, you know, when you're having a contraction, you're like, is this really a contraction? Is this just the pre-labor? But because she could feel it, it was just lovely that she was kind of exactly where I was and feeling it, and I was
feeling
it. So then they're like, yeah, okay, this is a big deal. So then actually this Dr. Katie that I had done the sweep, you know, the week beforehand, came up and they
not
said,
me, different person.
Yeah, she's not a doctor. They decided to take out the pessary because I was hyperstimulating. So they took it out and then they were like, okay, let's try and get a trace of the baby's heart. And then they couldn't get a proper trace of his heart because it was going up, but they could. It was going up in the contractions, but it wasn't coming down quick enough. So they were like, okay, we actually think we need to bring you down to the labor ward and break your waters. And I was like, oh, damn it. I was like, could you give me a minute there? I just want to kind of just give me a minute, just get my knickers on. And they were like, no. Where you're going, you don't need your knickers. I was like, okay, thank you. And I was like, can I walk? You know, because I was like determined. I was like, I want to keep moving. And they were like, well, we'll see. You know, baby will determine whether you can walk down or not. And then the whole thing was happening with the heartbeat. So we were like, we're going to put you in a wheelchair. And I was like, okay, great, no problem. So they sat me into the wheelchair and I thought, you know, Eeyore, you know, 20 minutes running down the hall, you know, the doors are going to swing open and then I'll be in the labor ward. It was literally next door. I was
they literally just went around the corner and in you go.
It's another room. I was full sure it was like a whole other part.
It was
of the
just
building.
A room on the same corridor. Like,
yeah, I was like, oh, we're here. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I remember actually not knowing where it was because at the time I was just so focused on like going with them wherever they were going. I was like, to go. And then when I left, I was like, I don't know where I am.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got here. Like, I couldn't relate the two places to each other. The delivery room was just like a room suspended in time. But they just like grabbed all, they were like, I was like, what do I do? I'll gather up the stuff. And they were like, no, go, go. So they like sent me after the wheelchair and then they like grabbed all the Joe's stuff.
Put it all in a white
bin bag. With yellow bin bag. So they came in and they were like, oh, here's the stuff, and like handed me this bin bag with like the shrine in it.
All my lights and all,
at least the, like, the lights were all flickering in the bag with like the little the rocks and like the cards and everything.
Affirmation cards.
It was very funny in hindsight, but at the time I was like, what the fuck.
So anyway, we got to the labor ward and it was lovely, and they did,
sorry, it was a delivery room, not the
delivery room,
the labor,
sorry,
ward,
yes,
that we
yeah.
were
the delivery room, and they
it was really nice.
It was lovely, and they actually do have a salt lamp in the delivery room, which is lovely. And we met this lovely midwife and they were all so lovely and so calm, and they were like, okay, we're gonna break your waters. And then I was like, they said, oh, we're gonna break your waters and then we'll put you on the drip. And I was like, the drip, can we talk after that and just see how I'm getting on? I really wanted to just see how my body would, because I had, before they put the prostaglandin in, I had started dilating. So things were starting. So I asked, good, is there any way we could wait like an hour after you break my waters before we do anything else? And they said, yeah, no problem, we'll go for it. So then they broke my waters. And then I think about 10 minutes in, I was like, what the hell? How long is this hour going to be? Like, what the hell is going on? And they were still trying to get a trace of his heart. And it was all just a bit like, you know, trying to get the trace on me. And I was like, could you give me a minute? Like, it was just all a bit kind of fussy, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
Not really.
Then I was like, I need to poo. I need to go to the bathroom now. And they were like, we're trying to get the trace. And I was like, well, I need to go to the bathroom so you can get your trace off me. And then they were like, okay, great. They had it on me and it was on a kind of like a, you know, that drip trolley thing, whatever you call it. So then I went off to the bathroom and Katie was kind of like following along with this thing.
It was in the room, like it was in the corner of the room.
And the ensuite, you might call it. So I went to the bathroom and I was like, well, no, I don't actually have to go to the toilet. And then they were still having trouble finding the trace. And I was like, well, I want to go. I've got to go on my knees. I was determined to like keep moving. And they were like trying to like, you know, move me. They'd hooked me up to
water. All fours on the bed. And your one was like at your tummy with the thing trying to like hold it up.
Yeah, trying to get the trace.
It was like strapped around, you know.
And were you most comfortable that way?
Only for, I wanted to just see if I would be, if it would be better in that position, if I feel a little bit better, but I didn't. And then it just, but they were all, there was all, because they had hooked me up to, had gotten sick twice. So they were like, okay, we're going to give you just a drip, a water drip. So they were trying to like weave it around while I turned around and got on my knees. And then they're like, does that feel better? I was like, no, it doesn't. So turn back around anyway. And then, I forgot earlier on, actually, while I was in labor on the labor ward, we tried out the TENS machine and it made me get sick. And then I don't know if it was that I also had two paracetamols. It could have been what made me sick. But we had the acupressure needles. Katie put them all in and then she went to put them in my feet. And I was like, oh, God, no, like, don't put them in my feet. That doesn't feel nice at all. But your fingers feel really nice. So that's lovely. Do that again. So she was pushing her thumbs into my feet. And I was like, OK, that's great. That's great. Lovely. Brilliant. And then the next contraction would come and she'd do it again. So we were kind of in this kind of flow of like she would push her thumbs into my feet while I had the contraction. And it was working really well. And I was like, the feet, you know, when I was in the throes of it. So then when we were in the delivery suite, anytime I got a contraction, Katie would go down and put her thumbs in. And the midwives were just like amazed by this. So she was putting her thumbs in. And then like, they hadn't checked me in a while, right?
It's hard to remember like this, the sequence of like the timeline of how it actually
happened. Because
at one point they went to check. They wanted to do, they couldn't get the heart rate, the baby's heart rate. So they wanted to do like this pinprick thing in the baby's head
to take a
blood sample.
Yeah.
And they were like, can we do this thing? And they were like asking me for permission, I think, like, is it okay to do this thing? And I was like, do you need to do it? And they were like, yeah, we need to do it. It's really important. We have to do this thing. Otherwise, you know, we don't know if the baby's in distress. And then if, you know, if the baby is in distress, we might have to do a section, get the baby out straight away. And I was like, okay, just do the blood test thing. So they had like this really, really long needle and they were like going in to take a blood sample from the baby's head. But when they went to do that, they were like, oh shit, that's like
baby's right
five there. Centimeters or like it was quite like advanced or whatever. So they took the sample, sent it off. They said it was going to be back in 5 minutes. So it wasn't a big deal. But I think in the meantime, then it had progressed even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was fine. When they got the result, it was fine.
Yeah. Right. Everything was fine. Cause they were checking for whether there was enough oxygen going to the baby. I remember the midwife, she like went down beside me. She looked me in the eye and she was like, we're going to do this test. It takes 5 minutes to come back, but the whole process is 1 minute while we take it and it takes 5 minutes. Is that okay? And I remember looking at her and being like, what are you talking about? Ask Katie. Like, so anyway, the blood sample came back and we were like, this was all kind of semi busy, I suppose. It wasn't like chaotic, but I was like in another world and I was like, where's the gas and air?
One stage you were like, when can I get the gas and air? And they were like, oh shit,
oh, yeah, sorry,
you can have that now. They just had forgotten to like
offer it
because they were too busy with the heart monitor thing.
So then they gave me the gas and air and I was like, oh, this is great. And then one of the midwives was looking at Katie, and Katie was like, what, what? Because she hadn't done the thing I wanted her to do. She was doing the feed thing. And then I went like this. I made like an action with my hand to talk. Yeah. And the midwife was like, she wants you to keep talking, because Katie had been like saying all the affirmations over again. Like, you're so strong. I believe in you. You're amazing. You know, like, you can do hard things. And, you know, it's just one more contraction. And this, you know, every contraction is one step closer to our baby. And it was just amazing. And the midwives were like, who are these two? So we, yeah, then it got to like the pushing part, and like, it just flew. It was so fast from there. Like, his head was coming out, and then Katie came up to me and she was like, oh my God, his head is here. And we didn't know what the sex of the baby was. Okay. So, but she said, he's coming, I can see his head. And all the midwives were like, I thought you said you didn't know. And it was like, we just knew in our heads it was Sunny. Like, and even we knew we only had one name, and the only name we had was Sunny. And like, even, you know, when some of the scans we got, like, looked like him. They didn't look like, you know, some of them looked like little alien babies, like, and at the beginning he definitely did, but then he really looked like himself in one of the later scans. So in the midst of all this, kind of like all the busyness of it all, my mind kind of went a bit like, I was just like, I couldn't really kind of hear anything or see, you know, you're just in another world. But I could hear my playlist in the background, because we had been listening to, we made this playlist ages ago, and we kind of put it on. I would put it on in the mornings just when I'm getting ready. And then I was like, I wanted to be so used to it so that I could, you know, would feel comfortable when I was in labor. And then I heard it in the background. It was kind of like a little anchor in the background, which was deadly. But there was a song that was coming on that I didn't like, and I was so sick of it. And I was like, oh, this song, I'm so sick of it. And then I was like, okay, this must be some kind of a sign, like, that, you know, I'm meant to hear this song right now, and we're nearly there. So then he came out, and it was like straight up on the chest. He latched on straight away.
But at the start, remember, we could see his head. Well, yeah. I could see his head. I could see his hair.
And how does that feel to see that? I'm so jealous. I would love to see a baby crowning.
It was fucking insane. Like, it was so insane. Like, it's like literally, like, you could just see kind of this curly hair.
Yeah.
And then, and like, oh my God, it was the most mental thing. And then they were like, they kept like repeating. Were like, keep going, keep going, keep going. And like, there was like one midwife, like right at the end, she was like, I guess, catching, like ready to catch him kind of. They were just so good. Like, they were just deadly. And then he just popped out, like his whole head just came out. And then his head was just like
there.
And it was like purple, like just this tiny purple head.
It was huge though, right?
Well, like, compared to the size of a baby, it was tiny. Yes,
well, yeah. Compared to the hole, it was your small. Compared to the hole, it was big.
Well, again, it was smaller than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be the size of a whole baby. Yeah. Like, it was a small head. And then the rest of them just kind of flew out, and the midwife like caught him, and the cord was kind of winded around him. So she kind of like unraveled that and then just threw him up on Joe's chest. And I was just like, he's here. And they were like, we haven't even checked yet. And I was like, it's him. Fucking hell.
Mad going back over it now. It's like, it was just, I was trying to figure out, like, I asked Katie yesterday, I was like, at what point was I in transition, you know, because everyone talks about this moment. But I just,
probably when you were getting thick about the playlist.
Actually, before they took out the baby, the midwife, her name was Tara, she was like, sorry, I just need everyone to know that Katie is going to be the one that says the sex of the baby if you didn't get a chance to read the birth preferences. I was like, oh, I love you.
Oh, wow. Really respecting your space.
We were like, what? Because we obviously had written that like months ago.
Ages ago,
We're like, oh, right, okay,
And then afterwards she was like, look, I'm really sorry that like there was a couple of extra people in the room. We just needed to get, you know, do this. And I know that you didn't really want that in the first place, so sorry about that. And I was like, thank you. And she was like, look, you're, you know, you guys did so good. Like, you're such an amazing team. And
they
well
were
done.
Really incredible.
And so tell me how you felt when Sunny was put up on your chest.
It's like, God, how do you put that into words? It's the most incredible. Like, it was, I was so relieved. I was so relieved because there was moments of like, you know, with this trace and the heart rate and heart, you know, we can't get it. It's very hard to kind of block that out. You know, you can hear though, you can hear them talking in, you know, amongst you, even though I was kind of like out of it in another kind of zone. I was trying to zone them out as much as I could, but you do worry, you know, you do worry in those moments. But I was just, once I had him in my arms, I was like, it was almost like everything. It's literally everything we've ever dreamed of. It was right there in our arms, and everything we'd worked for, everything we thought about was just there. And he was just, we knew him, like we knew him already. We got to know him 10 months ago. We've been talking to him so much. And he was such a sound little fella. He's still so sound.
He was exactly like we knew he was going to be. Like, I saw him and I was like, oh, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, he was exactly the way I imagined he would be. Like, he was just exactly that.
Yeah. Like, Joe said something very similar, actually, when you were talking up the toilet there, was something very similar. So that's cool to hear the same thing from both of you.
Exactly the same. Like, it was like, yep, there he is.
So, yeah, that was what it was like when we had him in our arms. And it was like, oh, here's all our family right here, right now. And yeah, it was just epic.
So as I said in the original recording, Joe and I actually spoke for about 2 hours. So there's definitely parts of our conversation that are unfinished and we will continue in the future. Joe is actually going to lead us through a gentle flow at the end of our event on the 2nd of September, which I'm really looking forward to. So that is it for this week. I will share a brand new episode with you on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.